Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 13. Book of Romans, chapter 13. Actually, my message today is a topical message, and this is where we're going to begin. You may wish to follow along using the outline in the bulletin on the back of the prayer list. We do have a number of verses to look at today. Romans chapter 13. I want to read verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Well, we are told to give honor to whom honor is due, either by position or by merit. Where honor is befitting, it should be bestowed. We honor the position, but it is better if the honor is gained. The Greek word here for honor means to place a value upon. Now, the position or the person is worthy. It is an estimate of worth. Thus, honor, dignity, veneration. The greater the worth, the greater the honor. Webster's 10th edition says that it is merited respect, a recognition, also a good name or public esteem, a reputation. It is a respect and esteem shown to another. Now, biblically, it is proper to give honor to a spouse. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says a man should do so. Children are to honor their father and mother. Our verse in this context speaks of governmental authority and public offices which deserve honor. So we give honor. We show respect. We value position. We observe their actions and find merit. Or as we say, we give credit where credit is due. As such, we may extend our thanks, recognize their contributions, or bestow honor or praise. Some receive a key to the city, some a plaque or applause, others the respect and courtesy they deserve. I submit unto you, honor is closely akin to respect. Although a position may demand respect, the person holding such a position must maintain the integrity of the position, else respect is lost. Therefore, respect is earned. It is one thing to show respect to the office. It is another thing to pay respect because the person earned it. The same is true as of honor. As a matter of fact, an office is not necessary. Great respect and honor may be shown though there be no official position. Therefore, position or no, office or not, we must live a life which is honorable. We must earn respect. We must earn honor. It is then my objective to teach upon this subject so that we might be honorable. Those last two words are the title of my message today and an encouragement to every one of us. Be honorable. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Bless your word. Speak to our hearts as only you can. Heal the many that are sick and afflicted, could not be here today. Those who are away traveling, watch over them and bless each one according to your will. Lord, just draw us to you that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, and cause us to be a people not just as your children, but honorable as your children. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now I plan to point out some areas of life whereby if you will do well, you shall earn respect and gain the honor due. Now being Mother's Day, I shall focus our thoughts upon the women, amen. But men, you are not exempt, and when it comes to Father's Day, we will come back around to this subject, I believe. And so may the Lord bless His Word. And the good thing about this, turn if you will to 1 Timothy chapter 5. The good thing about this is that it's kind of like tithing. You know, if I preach on tithing, if you tithe, well, it's pretty easy, isn't it? You just listen and you agree and you know that these things are true and there's no problem, is it? But if you don't tithe, then the message goes forth on tithing. God may speak to your heart. Well, such as it is today. So I speak about these items, about being honorable. If you do these things, if you respond well, then it's easy, isn't it? There's no problem whatsoever. But if God speaks to your heart about something, then respond to the Lord. Now again, we're going to speak about being honorable. And we're going to mention especially in regard to the female aspect of the creation today. I'm going to talk to mothers, I'm going to talk to wives, and I'm going to talk to women. Because on Mother's Day, we honor mothers, don't we? But just because a woman gives birth to a child doesn't necessarily mean that she should be honored as a mother. Well, biologically, that is the case, but not all people who give birth are good mothers, are they? And so we're not trying to implement and give you the idea that, well, you know what, we're just going to honor mothers because they have children. I think it's more than that. But what about those who don't have children? What about the wives? Shouldn't they be honored? What about those who aren't married? Shouldn't they be honored? Well, absolutely. And I believe that we ought to honor the female gender of our race. Absolutely. And so whether you are a woman or a wife or a mother, then you know what? We want to give honor where honor is due. And we want you to be honorable. Men, we want to be honorable. And so let's just look into these things. The first place that I've asked you to turn is 1 Timothy chapter 5. I want to give you four things in regard to mothers. Oh, there are many things we could have worked at and gendered up for us than to spend our time, but we won't have that much time to look at every detail. So I'm just going to give you a smattering of these things so you can take a survey of your own life and see whether or not you would be an honorable individual. Four things. First of all, guide the house. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14, he writes, "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." Proverbs chapter 14. Let me read that to you. We will be going to Proverbs in just a little while. But Proverbs chapter 14. Listen to verse 1. "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." My dear ladies, you who are women, you have a household, guide the house. Now, the guy can come in and say he's the king of the castle, all he wishes, but you know what? Who is to guide the house? It is the woman who's to guide the house, take care of the things at home. And I know the man is the king, if you will. We're not removing any authority there. But the women are to guide the house because, generally speaking, the guys were out in the fields. They were taking care of their families. They weren't at home. And so, ladies, if you're at home and you're taking care of those children, you know, you guide the house. You discipline those children when they need discipline. You teach, you train, and all the things that are necessary. You guide the house. And you'll see other verses that refer to these things as we go through the message today, which this is absolutely true. You have a responsibility. It just isn't a one-sided deal in the home, is it? It takes both. And so, ladies, guide the house. Ephesians chapter 6, the second item I want to mention to you is teach your children. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Obedience. Now, what it is the children need to respond to the parents. The parents need to be teaching. They need to be training. They need to be raising up. Teach your children about life. Teach them about living. Teach them about the things of God. Now, if the children are to obey the parents are to be giving instruction. Mothers, teach your children. Not just A, B's, and C's. And I'm glad that mothers teach A, B's, and C's, and colors, and numbers. Those things are good, but teach them about Jesus. Tell them about who God is, and expose them to the Word of God. And as they get a little bit older, help them to read and to know the Bible stories. Teach the children. It's just a responsibility. Honorable mothers will be teaching their children, training their children. Guide the house. Teach the children. Titus chapter 2. If you would, go back there. Number 3, love your children. I encourage you, love your children. I know that sometimes they're not so lovable. Sometimes they're not the easiest things to be around. But you know what? Children are a blessing of the Lord, and you need to love your children. Titus chapter 2 teaches in verse 4 that the older ladies are to teach the younger women to be sober, that is serious-minded, responsible, to love their husbands, and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Love your children. love your husbands. Mothers, that's an honorable thing to do. And then if you would, turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, and this is the chapter speaking of the woman who is virtuous. And we're going to make two references here, one to the mother and one to the wife. And I encourage you mothers to be virtuous. Have virtue. And if you do, you'll be honorable, won't you? Proverbs chapter 31, notice verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and portion to her maidens. Guiding the house, taking care of the house, making sure everything is provided for. Verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Look at verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Give honor to whom honor is due. And when the woman does as she ought to do, when she provides and when she takes care, and when she is the kind of mom that she ought to be, then you know what? The children call her blessed, and the husband praises her in the gates. Honor to whom honor is due. And so I encourage you mothers today to be honorable women. Be honorable mothers. Do what you can be, do what you can do and be what you can be, so that you will be the kind of person that would be honorable before the Lord Jesus Christ, and that your children will rise up and call you blessed, and your husbands will praise you in the gates. That's where honor comes from, isn't it? And so it's just not a matter of, well, I'm in this position of mother, and I have these kids, the little rugrats, I don't like them, they're just snotty nose, I can't stand them, I can't stand the husband, I can't stand the home, I'd like to get out of all this and ditch that. That's not very honorable, is it? And so I encourage you, mothers, be honorable today. Well, here in Proverbs chapter 31, I want to mention then the second category, because, again, mothers ought to be honored. But wives ought to be honored, and not just because, well, they didn't have children, they should be neglected. No. Wives ought to be honored as well. And so right here in Proverbs chapter 31, there are some references about the virtuous woman. And so wives as well. Look at verse 10. Proverbs 31, verse 10. There are five things I want to mention to you. So be virtuous. This is number one. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Why? Because of his wife. Oh, a good wife is a grand thing. Proverbs chapter 12, you might want to turn back there. Proverbs chapter 12. And notice in verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness to his bones. And my friend, you know what? There are some ladies today that they're married, but they're really not married, and they don't care about virtue. It's all about them. I know that men do that too, but you see, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Boy, what a blessing it is to have a wife that is virtuous. And so be virtuous, ladies. And you know what? You'll be honored as a wife ought to be honored. Secondly, if you would, keep a finger in the Proverbs. I will be coming back in a couple of moments. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I want to encourage all the wives, and you say, well, this applies to women as well, but the context itself speaks of the wives. And so 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 4, have a godly deportment. Have a godly deportment. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation or the behavior of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and wearing of gold or a putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great prize. And Peter is writing and addressing the issue of a wife who is a Christian, but a husband is not, and how she should respond to that. And she said, well, you're saved, but your husband may not be. You know what? You're not going to convert him by nagging him. You're not going to convert him by being a bad woman. You need to be a virtuous woman. You need to be chaste. You need to have your conversation, your lifestyle, coupled with fear, fear of the Lord. You need to be honorable even as a wife. That's a godly deportment. He speaks of there, well, you know, don't place the emphasis on the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold and putting on of apparel. And of course, you've seen some of the segments in our society where the rules and the guidelines are very strongly laid down that women have to have their hair in a certain way and wear a certain thing or don't wear makeup or on and on and on. And now all the emphasis is on an outward appearance. Well, just because somebody might do all that in an outward fashion doesn't mean that they're right in the heart. Same is true for the head covering. If a church and a man and a woman might express and believe in the head covering for a woman to demonstrate submission to their husbands, well, you know what? Some of those ladies, they might wear that head covering, but it sure isn't true in their lives, is it? And so it ought not just be something outward. It needs to be inward. And that's a godly deportment. And what's true for the wife is true for the mother, too. A mother needs to have a godly deportment. Now, you need to dress well, and we're going to look at this when we get down to the women category. But, you know, have a godly deportment and live well, dress well, be who you ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the third item that is mentioned in this text that I want to mention to you is mentioned in this text also has a reference over to Ephesians chapter 5, and that is the matter of submit to your own husbands. We read in those verses there about the wife submitting to her husband. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And by the way, I don't believe that this means that, and we've already mentioned this about the guy's the king, he's the head of the home and all that, and he's the ruler. I'll tell you, if you're king, my friend, then your wife ought to be queen. I do not believe for an instance that a man ought to say, well, I'm the head of the house and you have to do everything I say. You're my slave. You're my dutiful servant. And you know what? If she's your helpmate, she equals you out. She's your balance. And you ought to love her and you ought to cherish her. But wives, you need to submit to your husbands too, but unto the Lord. And so just because a husband might say, okay, well, we're going to go into this store, I want you to shoplift, and I'm the head of the home, and you have to do what I say. No, you don't have to. You don't go in and shoplift because the husband's telling you to do that. It doesn't work that way. And husbands, if you love your wives right, you're not going to have a problem with her responding in the things that are right before God. And wives, if you love your husbands right, and if they have a decent attitude for the Lord and a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not going to be forcing you to do things that are wrong. But you want to be an honorable wife, don't you? Don't you want your husband to be praised in the gates because of who you are? And part of that's a matter of submission. Then number four, if you would go back to the book of Proverbs. I remember years ago, as you turn over there, that a preacher, he was kidding around, but he said that he was the head of his home, and his wife gave him permission to say so. And that's just a funny deal, but you know, sometimes that's the case. I just encourage you wives to be honorable. And you know what? If you're honorable, your husband ought to recognize that. Husbands, if you aren't, there's something wrong with you. You need to recognize the honorableness in your wife, and you need to give honor to whom honor is due. But Proverbs chapter 19, let's go to number four. You need to be prudent. Be wise. Isn't it better to have some wisdom than to be foolish? Proverbs chapter 19, look at verse 13. A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. Houses and riches and are the inheritance of the fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Oh, to have a wife with some wisdom. That's a great thing, isn't it? And husbands, if you have a wife that has wisdom and insight and is a very prudent wife, you know what? That's an honorable characteristic, isn't it? Men, just don't be out there looking for a woman out there that just because she's a woman. You know what? You want to have a wife that is prudent. You want a wife who loves the Lord. And then you can give her the honor. Wives, be prudent. Be wise. And I remind you that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So fear the Lord and you'll have the wisdom that you need. And so be prudent. And then the last thing for the wise, turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. I state it in a negative fashion here, but do not be odious. That word means repugnant. Don't draw hatred to yourself. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 21 says, "For three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear." And then it says there in verse 23, the first part of the verse, "For an odious woman when she is married." You know, the truth is, and it's the same for, there are some men like this, but they're mean and they're hateful and they just bring aggravation and trouble all the time. They're odious people. And a man or a woman can do that. Well, that's not very honorable. That's not the kind of virtue you want. You want a characteristic that is honoring and pleasing to the Lord. So wives, don't be odious. Don't draw hatred to yourself. And if you do these things, and again, there are many other things that we could list, but even these, you know, these are things of honor. And so we would want to give honor to whom honor is due. So wives ought to be honored by their husbands and by their children. And let's pass on, and you're here in Proverbs, turn to chapter 9. And I want to notice the last category, because not all women are mothers and not all women are wives. And so Proverbs chapter 9. Now again, ladies, if you feel like you're getting slighted here, I intend to bring this around on Father's Day, and I guess you can feel a little bit more comforted. Amen? But again, we just want you to be honored today, and we want you to be honorable. And so may these things speak to our hearts. Proverbs chapter 9, and there are six things I want to mention in regard to the women, just very quickly here. Number one, and this is stated in the negative, but do not be foolish. If we want to be wise, we want to be prudent, and a prudent wife is from the Lord, do not be foolish. Proverbs 9, verse 13, "A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing." Do not be foolish. If you do, then that's what you're going to be known for, but you want to be a wise lady, and it doesn't mean you have to be married. Doesn't mean you have to have children. But be wise. Have understanding. Do not be foolish. Go to Proverbs chapter 21. This is the second thing I want to bring to your attention. Proverbs chapter 21. Again, spoken in the negative. Do not be contentious and angry. Proverbs 21, verse 19. "It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman." And there are other places Proverbs speaks of. And Solomon, he was very well acquainted with women and wives and all that. Proverbs 25, 24 says the same thing. Proverbs 21, verse 9. He says, you know, here in this text, it says in this verse that, you know, I'd rather be out in the wilderness than to be with somebody that's always fighting and bickering and contentious and angry all the time. And so that's not very virtuous, is it? Do not be an angry individual. Do not be contentious. Don't keep that chip on the shoulder. Don't be like that. And, well, Proverbs, and we just mentioned this in reading the verse a moment ago, but chapter 27, verse 15 compared that a woman like that's like a continual dropping. Yesterday it rained quite a bit. And can you imagine when it just rains and rains and rains and rains? And, you know, a woman that's contentious and angry, that's what it's kind of like to be around her. Well, that's true for a man, too. You're around a man that's contentious and angry. You can't hardly stand it, can you? And so you want to be honorable? Don't be foolish. Do not be contentious. Do not be angry all the time. Rather, if you turn back to Proverbs chapter 11, and this is the third item, rather be gracious. Just a simple statement that Solomon makes here, but be a gracious individual. Be a gracious lady. Proverbs 11, verse 16, "A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches." You see that? You want honor, ladies? Be a gracious woman. And then if you would, number four, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In verse 34, and Paul's giving him some instruction about serving the Lord through being married, not being married. In verse 34, he says, "There is a difference also between the wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband." Ladies, you're single. Serve the Lord while you have that opportunity. Now, that's not to say that wives cannot serve the Lord. They can. That's not to say that mothers cannot serve the Lord. They can. But I'll tell you, when a woman is married, there's distraction there. When a woman is married and has children, there's greater distraction there. And things make it all the more difficult in order to serve the Lord as you ought. But as a single woman, you have so much opportunity and freedom to serve the Lord. If you want to be honorable, that's what I encourage you to do. You know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Put Him number one in your life. You don't have these other things to distract. You serve the Lord so that you might please Him. And that's very honorable, isn't it? Nothing wrong with a single lady honoring God by her life. And she will be honored because of that. Now, if you would, number five, 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I had mentioned to you before when we had the reference in regard to the wives and the outward dress. Paul wrote to Timothy and made an expression here, that this applies really to all women, and really it is the matter of you ought to emphasize the inner beauty and not the outward dress. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 says, "In like manner also women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. And you suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." What do you find here? You find the matter that it's like what we mentioned before. Don't just put all the emphasis on the outward. It's not saying you can't broid your hair. It's not saying you can't wear jewelry. But you want to wear those things which honor God, those things which profess godliness. It is being modest before the Lord. Now, I understand, and this I heard this many years ago when I was in college. The preacher got up and he said, and he was talking about things like this, and he said, "Well, if the barn needs painted, then paint it." Ladies, if you want to wear makeup, wear makeup. But be reasonable, you know. There's a moderation in these things. But be modest, right? Be modest. Don't put all the emphasis on the outward fixing where your heart's corrupt. You need to put the emphasis upon the heart. That's where the honor comes from. And, you know, men need to learn these things. That the inner beauty is really what is essential. It's not the outward dress. Now, of course, we're warned through the Scripture over and over and over about a man being captured by a strange woman and all that, and by her dress, and by catching them with her eyes, you know. They sit there and they wink at you and all that kind of stuff. Well, there's truth to that. And that's the way man's wired, but he's drawn to beauty. But I'll tell you, you can find a lot of beauty on the outward, and they're just rotten to the core. As a matter of fact, I want to address that for the last point here in regard to the women. Ladies, it's honorable for you to emphasize the inner beauty, not the outward dress, but it's okay to dress up. It's okay to wear makeup, in my opinion. You know, fix it if it needs to be fixing. But don't make that your emphasis. What's your heart like? Turn, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 31. And as I mentioned this last item in regard to the ladies, I want you to know, and men, you better listen clear, true beauty is in fearing and loving God. That's the kind of woman you want, man. You say, "Well, she's not the best looking woman in the world." No, she isn't, but she loves the Lord. Now, I'll tell you, that'll supersede all the outward beauty. And I'm quoting a lot of old things I heard as a preacher. This other preacher, he said that, was it beauty skin deep, ugly to the bone? Beauty fades away, but ugly holds its own. Well, that's true. That may be true. But that inward beauty will make a big difference. True beauty, it really is fearing God and loving the Lord. Proverbs chapter 31, look at verse 30. Men, you ought to know this. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain, But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. Proverbs chapter 11, isn't that true? That you want to be praised? Fear the Lord. Love Him. And you'll receive the honor that is due. But boy, I'll tell you, and there's nothing wrong with beauty. There's nothing wrong with looking good. Nothing really wrong with that. But it needs to be coupled with that chaste conversation, with that godly deportment, with loving God and fearing the Lord. That's where it really matters. So Proverbs chapter 11, this is the last verse, verse 22. Proverbs records for us, and Solomon wrote, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. So get that visual image in your mind. A jewel of gold, a precious, perhaps a great big diamond ring, just solid gold with that little the diamond on top, as a jewel of gold in a swine snout, up a pig's nose. So is a fair woman without discretion. And so you have this number 10. And boy, she's just a knockout. And the guys just flock after her. But she has no discretion. No fear of God. No holiness about her. You know what that's like? That's like that gold in the swine's snout. That's what you end up with. And so, my friend, men, you better learn. You just don't run after beauty. You better know the person. You better know the heart. You better know whether they love the Lord or not and what their desire is. And you know what? When you recognize that, you'll see those things as virtue and it'll overcome some of the blemishes that are outward. And so, ladies, you be what you ought to be on the inside. And you know what? You'll be honorable. You'll be honored. Don't you want to be honorable today? Don't you want people to respect you? Don't you want people to honor you? Whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you have children or not. Don't you want to be honored by people? Respected? Venerated? So be honorable today. Now men, let me make this quick statement to you. You want to be honorable? Be wise. Follow the Scriptures. Fear the Lord and love God. You be a man of honor. Have a good heart. Love your wives. Love your children. Raise your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Provide for your household. Don't let your eyes wander. Be a man of your word. Possess integrity and morality. Have a godly deportment. And you know what? You'll be honorable. And people will recognize that and you'll receive the honor. But we were emphasizing today the ladies and the mothers, the wives, and the women. So in conclusion, let me give you four things and I'll be done. Number one, we are to bestow honor upon whom honor is due. Well, this is Mother's Day. Do we bestow honor upon a mother simply because she has a child? Well, that's a grand thing. I wouldn't want to do it. But you know what? There are mothers who have those children and forsake those children. Mothers who turn away, who are not really good mothers at all, should they be honored simply because they have children? I think not. The position is honorable. Being a mother is absolutely honorable. Nothing wrong with that, away with the women lib concept from the 60s and the 70s and how that came through, how it's dishonorable for women to have children. That's just wrong, isn't it? The Bible speaks otherwise. But a woman ought to be honorable. And so, ladies, mothers, you deserve honor if you've earned it. The position deserves it, but all that you might be honorable mothers. And so may we bestow honor upon those to whom it is due, upon our wives, upon the ladies. You deserve honor, then you deserve it, and you should receive it. Secondly, I believe that we have a responsibility to live in a manner which earns respect and gains honor. A life which is pleasing to the Lord. Should I expect you to honor me as your pastor simply because I'm your pastor? You should for the position. But if I live a life in a manner which is displeasing to God and which is not an honorable life, should I receive the honor despite the office? I think not. I believe there's a responsibility that every one of us have to live a life which pleases God, which earns the honor, which earns the respect, and we should not expect to receive honor if we live dishonorable. And so may we, by God's grace, be honorable. Number three, may I submit unto you that the primary foundation for being honorable, the primary foundation for being honorable, is to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. As we discussed just in these about the women and the wives and the mothers, didn't we find over and over and over again about fearing God, honoring God, being holy, pure, loving the Lord? And that's true for men. Oh, you can be honorable in some degree, and there are great honorable people that are lost. I understand that. But how much more would they be honorable if they love the Lord? Can you imagine these people that we raise to high esteem in our society, and yet they're ungodly? How much more if they knew Jesus? What a difference. Talk about honor. And certainly, to know Christ is the foundation for truly being honorable, because you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart. And what a difference Christ makes in us. And then certainly as Christians, we ought to live a Christian life so that we might be found honorable. I don't know about you, but in my Christian experience, I've met on more than one occasion individuals who would point out somebody and they say, well, they say they're Christians and they do this and they do that and they behave in these fashions and they go to these places and they do this and on and on and on. And they say, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. That's not very honorable, is it? I don't want anybody to ever look at me and say, well, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. I want to be an honorable person. I want to be a Christian that is a consistent Christian so that I can bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be honorable for Him. And that starts right in the heart, doesn't it? First to be saved, and then to serve and to love Him. And so then lastly, I say unto you, may we merit honor. Just not positions, but maybe we merit it. But then may we give honor. Some people have a difficult time giving honor. And we ought not be like that. May we give honor. Your wife deserves honor, give it to her. The ladies who live right, love the Lord, they deserve honor. The mothers, they deserve honor. I just encourage you today to be honorable. Ladies, be honorable. Men, be honorable, so that we can honor Christ through it all. Well, perhaps a slightly different message, perhaps. But hopefully one that would encourage your heart and draw you to Jesus. And if you're here and you're lost, that you might be saved, so that you'll know Him and then live well for Him, so that you might honor Him through your lives. And you too then will receive honor because you're an honorable person. Let's stand. Brother Paul, do you have a song that we might sing? Standing. Father, bless your word to our hearts as only you can. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word. And I pray that everyone here would receive the word in the attitude of which I meant to give it. And I pray that no one here would think that I've been angry or upset or judgmental. We just want to give you a word so that we, as your people, might be drawn to you, that we might be honorable before you, whether men or women. We ask you to save the lost today. In Jesus' name, amen.